One, two, three, four. That doesn't sound anything like Stairway to Heaven.
We're never gonna make it.
No, we are going to make it.
Let's quit.
But it's always hard at first.
At first?
We've been at it for 30 years. We're getting too old to even drive to the gigs.
And I am so sick of showing up at high schools and they think we're the damn janitors.
I'm sick of Trampoline Girl.
But that's our hit.
Oh, come on, man, hardly.
You're just bitter because you never married.
Oh, great, great. You got the vein throbbing in his head again. Are you happy?
Are you?
I never married because I wanted to concentrate on the band.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where did it get the band? What about that breakfast television gig you promised us?
I'm trying. The producer and I are playing phone tag.
You have been playing phone tag for 30 years.
Would you stop it? You guys are starting to make my heart beat irregularly again.
Yeah, well, that'll go fine with your irregular drumming.
Yeah,
well,
what about you? What about this? Hey, what about this? At least I'm honest.
Oh, you!
Can we break up?
It's the Lifers Podcast with Scott Lucas, Gabe Rodriguez, and Ben Reiser. And now, here's Scott, Gabe, and Ben.
Unpunk Gabe, unpunk Gabe, unpunk, unpunk, unpunk Gabe. Unpunk Gabe.
I went to this store. It's called the Cool Shop or something in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I see is this Iron Maiden Killers vinyl clock.
That doesn't look like...
No. I'm like, okay, now we're talking. Now I'm going to find something here I'm going to like. I get a little further into the store. Now I start to see these dolls.
Uh-huh.
And I see a goat's head. And I see some pretty scary looking dolls, more dolls. And I'm like, holy cow. I think I'm
knowing you, and knowing you, these things are scaring the hell out of you.
They're scaring the hell out of me.
All right.
You can't, the listeners can't see this stuff, but I'm telling you, it's pretty wicked.
So this is what you wanted to start the show with, a bunch of pictures that the listeners can't see.
It's like, yes,
You would appreciate the level of fear in my mind when I walked towards the back of the store and I started seeing dolls.
It looks like where I got married, actually, in New Orleans.
Yeah?
Like, this? Yeah. Oh, yeah. This
it
woman,
looks like,
she looked like Nosferatu.
Tim Burton's Barbie Dreamhouse.
Tim Burton's?
Tim Burton. Burton. Burton, I say. What, did you buy,
Burton.
The clock?
No, I didn't buy anything. I kind of moseyed my way around, acted like I was going to buy something and left.
Sure.
You got spooked.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
So how are you guys doing today?
Well, I wanted to say that it turns out the honeymoon is finally over for us.
Why?
In our relationship, because we missed our own third anniversary. Like, we don't even remember our own anniversary anymore.
Honey, when was it?
It's too old. Well, it was the middle of February. February 16th, 2021 was the first episode of Lifers.
We've been busy. You've been busy. True. I've been playing with, like... 5,000 different bands. Gabe has been, you know, going to find little dolls for his collection.
Well, it's true. We've got kids now. There's, you know, there's a lot of things to think about in this relationship.
No. Just you, Ben. Just you.
Yeah, I've got kids now.
Listeners, today is a special episode. It's one that people have been asking for a while, right? And it's happening in a very weird way. And I'll explain as soon as I come back to let my good friend Randy Payne in. Okay? You guys talk amongst yourselves.
You can stop sharing that creepy screen.
I don't know how to stop sharing. There it is. Stop sharing. Okay, I got it now. That's some scary stuff there. Do you see this?
Yeah.
The listeners can't see, but...
We'll put it up. Maybe we should put it up as the image for the episode.
I got to close this because I'm going to have bad dreams.
Yeah, I hear you.
One by one, that we're going to have the married men come out somehow.
Yeah, I don't even know who all the married men are, though I've seen them a couple times. But they see the lineup seems to change, does it not?
You've seen the married men in concert?
Yeah.
Where was this, in Madison?
I saw them once at the Empty Bottle.
What the hell? Where did you come from, Tom?
And I saw them once at this outdoor festival of some
apple
kind.
Pie. Somewhere. You
maybe
like apple
in
pie?
Skokie or something like that.
You want to get that
I was at that show.
No, no, no.
Yes, I was.
Oh, yes, you were. Were you? Yeah.
Was this before the start of the podcast?
No, no, no. So that's not, then it wasn't
open
that.
Open it up.
I don't think you were at the show.
I was at the Skokie show.
What show are we talking about?
The Married Men show in Skokie.
Married Men. Okay, so you told people what's happening right now.
We got...
All right, so this is our first practice. Married Men are playing with the Tossers March 16th for St. Patrick's Day. We've done it a few times before. We're doing it again. So this is our first practice in what, Tom?
I'd say a year.
Easily. How long would you say? Come here, let's get there. In a year?
In a year, Scott.
We haven't done anything since. All right, everybody, this is Tom Sedone. He's the bass player. And Gabe, this is Tom Sedone.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Gabe.
Hey, Tom Sedone. Tom's not going to be able to hear us, though, right? He doesn't have his own.
Oh, that's right. Tom can't hear you. That's right. Can you hear them now, Tom?
Stick it in, Scott.
You guys really are married men because you're sharing earbuds, which is very intimate.
Hey. It's a little intimate.
So, Tom, can you remember how we started the Married Men?
The Married Men kind of grew out of this insane cover.
Wait, is it Married Men or Married Men?
You know what it is, Ben. The Married Men. It's going to be on the thing. You know what it is. Stop acting like her.
The Men Who Are Married. This gig that you got at Debonair... Uh-huh. It was like one second Tuesday of every month or something like that.
Sure. The Cold Space.
And we called it Scott Lucas and the Cold Space.
Did we call it Scott Lucas and the Cold Space or just the Cold Space?
The Cold Space, the practice room, was definitely called the Cold Space.
So that was named after the old practice room
right.
that we got out of that was cold and you called it. That was your idea.
It was cold in the wintertime. Yeah.
This is not cold.
No, this is comfortable.
Yeah.
Temperate.
Okay.
But, you know, there was a demand to learn a lot of songs in that.
What kind
combo.
Of songs were we playing? We're kind of playing hipstery songs and rendering them in rock shades.
Mid-2000s hipstery
right.
songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What's an example of a mid-2000s hipstery song?
Oh, well, here's one to give you an idea, Ben. We would do Young Folks by Peter Bjorn and Gabe. Uh-huh. And, we would do it with like a 10-minute guitar solo in the style of Crazy Horse. That's the kind of shit we were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like
that
it. That's
fun.
That sounds great.
You do a metal version of Justice, you know, stuff like that.
Guitar arrangement right. of Waters of Nazareth, right?
Waters of, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that just like we were playing frequently enough that, you know, we kind of knew how to do it.
Right.
The three of us. Oh, did that fall out of my ear?
Sure. It did fall here.
And then you wrote all those songs. And then...
Right.
I think Pat had been playing with us, and Pat moved to California. And then we got a gig at some bar. I don't remember what it was called. It was some bar on the corner of...
What bar was that, Randy?
Chicago and Ashland.
It was Angels and Liars?
Angels and Kings?
Well, no, this is way before.
That was before that. It was... Bluebird or something? Little
no,
Boy
it
Blue?
Grand, it was Grand and Ashland.
It was Grand and Ashland, and it was like blue in the title,
and
right?
And that was, I think, where we first like performed the song.
Right.
Oh, that one on Western, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'd written a group of songs that I was like
in a rush.
In a rush. And there were like six or seven songs and I was like, well, these are all mellow kill yourself songs.
Right.
Too depressing for Local H even. And I was like, what miserable bastards do I know? Oh, they're right in my backyard. Tom Sedone, Randy Payne.
I love those songs.
Well, we're going to try to play some of them tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Was this all after your trip to Russia? Because I thought when we had Anthony on, he was
No, Russia was in. Russia was after the second record came out, right?
I'm trying to remember. Is it? Yeah. Was it around Hallelujah?
Randy, do you remember Russia?
Yes.
Well, get your ass on over here, Randy. Here comes Randy Payne.
Do you want to put this in your ear, Randy?
Yeah, he's going to put that in his ear.
Here, stick it in.
Someone's going to get AIDS of the ear by the end of the night.
That's not good.
Randy Payne, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
You remember Russia?
I do remember Russia.
Okay.
You went to Russia.
Yeah, so that was after the second record, right?
After Blood Half Moon?
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
Scott, I thought that I thought that Andy said that the Married Men stuff was you and he trying to work out how you know get you back into singing after your voice got
No, that's wrong. No, okay. That's wrong. The first Married Men record was basically putting together a band for these songs.
Right.
And then once that started, we just kept going. And
Right. And
we recorded the second record pretty quickly after we had been on the road for a bit. And so we were supposed to do a South by Southwest thing after the second record. Mm-hmm. And that's when Russia happened. And that's when we recorded that EP.
Yep.
Did
because you were in
Kenny
Russia.
Rogers song, and I was and I sounded more gruff than Kenny Rogers, which is
which is saying something.
Yeah, saying something. Gabe, any questions for Randy Payne?
Hey, Gabe.
You're putting me on the spot. Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Good.
Who came up with the name? Scott Lucas and the Married.
That's a really good story, actually. So originally in the band, along with Scott, me and Tom and Pete, we had Becca Manti and Aaron Duggins. They were a couple at the time and both members of the Tossers. And Scott had asked Becca to play violin on these songs. So she was at our first rehearsal with us over at Million Yen. And Aaron didn't join her on that rehearsal for some reason. But she went home and, they were living together. And Aaron asked her, so what's with all these dudes? Who's all in this band? And she's like, oh, it's just Scott and a bunch of married men. And they were like, oh, that's kind of a great name for a band. I think you wanted to call it something different, I remember. I think you had a different name in mind.
What was it?
Show me on the doll.
Show me on the doll, right?
No, wasn't it something that...
Nazareth 2?
No, it was something that was like a reference from some HBO series at the time.
From Deadwood, Cocksucker. I wanted to call the band Cocksucker. Yeah, that's
I don't think it was Cocksucker. I think it was like the Holy Trinity or something like that.
The Holy Trinity. Okay.
So, I can't remember exactly what
that sounds like it.
Corpse Pig?
No, that's the one. That was what we were going to name the first album.
All right, Randy, go set up your drums.
Rock on, Randy Payne.
So, yeah, this is what it's like setting up... Married Men practice.
Who else you got back there?
How many members are going to be at the practice today?
Okay, so we've got me, Tom, Randy. Are you keeping count, Gabe?
Okay. I got three so far.
He's got his fingers
Pete
up.
Pete is here. Jason. Pat. And Cece.
Cece DeVille.
CC DeVille, right. That's
seven.
Seven people. Seven people, right?
Yeah. Is there enough space in that practice place for a seven piece band?
Have you been here before?
Just once or twice.
What'd you think?
It was better than the last one.
Not enough room for seven people.
This is like a hotel room.
All right, Pete, why don't you come up here? It's Pete Michong, everybody.
Hello.
Pete.
Hi, Gabe.
Hey there, Pete. You look like you're the same age you were when I met you the first time, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
I am.
How does everyone in the band feel about the fact that Scott Lucas is now a married man himself? And what does that do for the name of the band? And
do we have to change?
Good question.
Yeah.
Now we're just the married men.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going
to
do?
Well, but CC's not a man or married.
We can fix that.
Anything's possible.
So you were talking about seven people in the band, and you were talking about the space in this room?
Right.
Well, when we used to tour, we put seven people in one hotel room.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that?
Tell some stories about touring with seven people in one hotel room.
Yeah. Cozy. We had it all figured out. We get one room. We had an air mattress, And we had, it was like Jenga. We had everything figured out. We knew how to rearrange the whole room to fit everybody in. But once you got in, you couldn't really get out or move around very much at all.
Right. It was like Hotel California.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you take the mattress off the box spring and some people would sleep on the box spring and some people sleep
on the... didn't do that. We just had to push everything up against the walls, put the air mattress down. I don't remember. It was fun.
It was ugly. It was
It was brutal.
I started getting a lot of spider bites because I would sleep on the floor. I figured if anyone's going to sleep on the floor, it's going to be me. And spiders love me.
Even though we would always offer you a spot.
No.
And you would always end up on the floor.
And what kind of martyr would I be if I didn't sleep on the floor?
Oh, Lordy be. And speaking of the Tossers, so you were talking about the formation of the band. I wasn't around when it formed, but I do know you did some shows with the Tossers.
Right.
And then you brought Rebecca and Aaron in.
Right.
From the Tossers.
After Europe. We did some shows in Europe.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I ended up in this band, and that's how I met Rebecca and Aaron, and then that's how I ended up in the Tossers.
Right, you're in the Tossers.
And now I'm in the Tossers.
So you probably have, what, one practice with us, and we're wasting it on this podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's already more rehearsals than the Tossers have had. So.
Right,
okay. So we're winning.
Gabe and I were arguing about what Married Men shows I've seen. I've seen two. One of them was at the Empty Bottle not too long ago. And then another one was at an outdoor thing. I thought Skokie, but maybe I'm wrong. Because that sounded like that was earlier. Or maybe you've done that more than once.
The Backyard.
The last show?
Yeah, The Backyard.
The Backyard.
Was that the last?
Backyard Bash? Was that the last show we did?
The last show we did was last March for St. Patrick's Day.
Right, I didn't see that one.
Then the summer before that was the Backlot Bash. And that was in Skokie.
Oh, that wasn't. But that's, Gabe, that's a different Skokie show than the one you're talking about.
Yeah,
wasn't
I'm thinking
the Backyard
of the one
Bash.
The one I'm talking about with Ben was the one next to Wrigley Field, I think.
Like movies. What was the one next to Wrigley Field? That's the Metro, Gabe.
I thought there was an outdoor show next to Wrigley
Backyard
Field.
The Metro.
And that was Local H.
Okay. Forget.
One, two. It's okay not to answer. Some questions can wait. This is spinning plates that keeps us hanging around. But you're in love with your cancer. You're embracing your fate. Not a moment too late. Don't keep us hanging. Escape. Choose your moments alive.
You got anything else?
I don't know, Pete. I think there's been other shows where you've played with Scott outside of The Married Men. Is that possible? Did I mistake you for somebody else? Have you played other stuff with Scott before?
Outside of The Married Men?
Yes.
Yes.
Were you part of any of those Halloween shows before or something?
I've played the Halloween shows, yeah. The first time I played with Scott was Local H playing Hall & Oates.
Oh, that was the first time.
That was the first time we played together.
Not the last.
That was not the last. And then we went on to do Kiss.
Kiss.
And Led Zeppelin.
Well, let's stop at Kiss. So you were Ace,
mm-hmm.
and I was Paul. And Gabe, this is something you'll never know. We were super tall.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had the boots. And we went out afterwards.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And it was amazing. Oh. I mean, being a giant among men, it was like walking around in a world full of Gabes.
I don't think I've had my ass grabbed as many times as I did that night. That was gross.
Is that what Gabe does?
Oh, I don't know what Gabe does. Okay. I'll find out later. Cause...
Was that when Herb was Gene Simmons?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. And my favorite part about that was during the show, Herb left the stage, had a crowd of people following him out the door onto Milwaukee Avenue to blow fire.
Right. So, blow fire. So, this was post
Great White.
Yeah, Gabe's favorite band. This is post Great White, and so you couldn't have fire inside of clubs anymore. But
not anymore.
Herb was going to be good and goddamned if he wasn't going to be able to breathe fire as Gene Simmons. Uh-huh. So we're like playing Firehouse, and it's in the middle. We're going, zzz. Herb leaves the stage, walks outside, doesn't go outside that door that's right next to the stage.
All the way through the club.
All the way through the club to the with people first following door. Him. Right. Breathes fire. Makeup is coming down off his face because fire is, you know, and he's spitting all over the place. He's like, I'm going to do it again. Breathes fire again and then comes back in.
What I don't remember is what were we doing during that
time?
We
were standing on stage. By the time he got back in, Brian was Curfew. Singing Beth as Peter Criss.
Okay, that's what we did. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. That was really... A great show.
Having walked in Ace Frehley's shoes, do you still have an affinity for him? Like when you see him now, you're like, oh yeah, this is my guy.
When I see him now,
like he's still, you know, he's still making music.
Ace.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you still keep track of him?
I mean,
here's a question.
No, I don't follow him.
Who do you like more, Ace Frehley or Aldo Nova?
I don't know this.
Who sounds like they have more brain damage? Ace Frehley or Aldo Nova?
Don't ask me because I don't know who that is.
Whoa.
Pete Michong has the most brain damage.
Hi there. I'm Aldo Nova. And in 1982, when I was 24 years old, I released an album, which is now considered a classic. And from that album came this track, which has become my trademark. But now, at 64 years old, I open up chapter 2, when on October 16th this year, in a couple of days from now, I released my new song called Hey Lighty Daddy, and you can find it on Spotify, on Amazon, on Apple Music, on iTunes, almost everywhere. But before I close chapter 1, I'd like to finish with the song that started it all for all of you out there, since this is my last COVID special. Are you ready to rock? All right!
What, brain damage from playing Kiss that night. I've never been so hungover after that night. And then had to play Led Zeppelin.
We had to do Zeppelin, yeah. That. Zeppelin definitely suffered from the Kiss
yes.
drunk. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. For me, dropping you off on the corner of Lawrence and Western at 3 o'clock in the morning in full Ace Frehley gear?
No. Randy's asking if he remembers him dropping me off at 3
o'clock
in the morning.
No, but I do remember stories of people seeing Herb on the corner of Milwaukee and Damon trying to hail a cab in full Gene Simmons regalia after playing poker all night as Gene Simmons.
Yeah, and my car was towed that night. That's why Randy gave me a ride.
What were you dressed up as that night, Randy?
I was Charlie Watts.
Oh, Stones.
Yeah.
Stones.
I thought I heard that Herb woke up on his lawn dressed up as Gene Simmons. Maybe that was another time.
No, that was another time he dressed up as Gene Simmons.
Oh, okay, it was the other time. One of the other times. All right, very good.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a great, informative episode so far.
Is it?
Okay, so what haven't we covered about The Married Men? So we're playing March 16th.
At the Metro. Metro.
That's right. That's right, Gabe, at the Metro.
You didn't say the Metro last time.
Oh, I didn't?
No.
Are you playing as many marriage shows as you want, or not as many, or too many?
We do whenever we want, you know?
You were saying that the original guitarist was Mike McIntyre?
Mike McIntyre that can't play guitar. No, Pat McIntyre. No, no.
I don't know the difference. They're brothers, right?
Yes, they are brothers.
Okay. Pat McIntyre. Mike McIntyre is a poker player.
Yes.
Pat McIntyre was the original.
Pat McIntyre is in the band. He was never a guitar player before. He was the guitar player and lead singer of Cisco Pike. Oh, it's confusing, right?
Cisco Pike.
All this incestuous relationships between your buddies in Chicago. I can't keep track.
Cisco Pike. It's a lot better. It's a lot better than the incestuous relationships that you're used to, but it's fine.
Wait till we get Jason Basco over here talking about a band called Horse. Now we're going to talk about some incest.
Oh shit! Right, band called Horse.
There's a guy who sometimes emails me or sends me messages on Facebook to ask you on these episodes, and I always forget to do that.
Ask him what?
Would you like to entertain one of this guy's questions right now?
Thank you. Sure, let's do that.
One Shot Whiskey.
This guy's name is Grant, and he says, I was watching the All the Kids Are Right video and thought it still holds up really well. What does Scott think about Local H's catalog of music videos? Anything he's proud of, regrets, weird stories, any Gabe input?
Great question. Our most popular video is probably the video that I was like, all right, enough of this shit. Like, when we did Bound for the Floor, that was when I was like, you know, I don't want to do videos like this anymore. And I begged the guy, and I don't want to say his name, but I begged the guy over and over, please. Because I was watching him shoot it, and there's a bunch of kids in the video, and some kid is writing on a chalkboard. I'm like, listen, I know what's going on over here, but please
like
do not make
thing,
this.
Right?
Yes. I was like, please do not make this video look like Jeremy. He's like, oh, no. I hate that video. And I was like, okay, cool. Video comes out. It looks like fucking Jeremy. And I'm like, oh, that's great. So after that, I said to the label, I was like, look, I don't want to make videos like this anymore. I can't work with people like that. Let's work with somebody who has something to say, who has vision, who's not going to make Jeremy. And so they sent us a bunch of videos and a bunch of treatments, and we met with Phil Harder from Minneapolis, and he pitched us on a couple of ideas, and what we came up with was what became Eddie Vedder. And he did a great job, and I loved it, and I loved working with him, and I loved being in Minneapolis with all those people and Rick Fuller. So when it came time to do All the Kids Are Right, he was still our guy because he'd already also had done Fritz's Corner, and he had the whole idea about the whole thing with, you know, all the people, all the different Joes and all the different me's. And I was like, great. And he did it, and I still love the video. Like, there's a point in the video where it, like, where we're crowd surfing, and I get that rush when I watch the video that I felt when I first heard the final mix of the song. It makes it for me. I really dig it. And, you know, we kept working with him. He did Half-Life. So, yeah, I'm a big Phil Harder fan, and I have nothing bad to say about any of the videos that he's done for us. But, yeah, he's part of the whole Minneapolis scene. Big Trouble House was the name of his band.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions?
He does have another question.
All right, let's go.
What's his name? Who's asking these questions?
His name is Grant Barton.
Grant Goodeve. All right, here we go. What do you got?
If you're ever looking for topics with Scott, it might be interesting to hear about his thoughts about the band's popularity increasing, coinciding with the early internet. I remember there was a local H band message board on AOL in the late 90s. Scott Rock 9 and Local Gabe used to post on there. Maybe those screen names were imposters? Do they have any memories or stories from that weird time?
Popularity? But yeah, Gabe was there. Gabe, maybe you can shed some light on this one.
The Local H message board and the AOL message board?
Correct.
That was early internet days. It was just
correct.
That's what
kids,
he said.
Kids getting together with common interests. Yes, I used Local Gabe as my screen name on AOL Messenger back in the day, and I still have it. Is my email, but
oh, now you blew it,
which made it so I couldn't be Local Scott.
Yes, but you don't need to be Local Scott. You're just
I didn't have the choice, did I?
Oh yes, you
took it from me, didn't you?
You could have usurped it.
Why do I talk like that? I didn't have the choice, did I?
Anyway, did you guys exchange words about that at the time?
We're exchanging them now. It's been a nonstop exchange since then.
I don't know. The early message board was kind of weird, though, because those kids were kind of hard on each other. They kind of alienated everybody. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That hasn't changed, my friend.
I know, but the early days...
The people that follow us might be worse than the people who post in that Chicago Pizza Club.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, nothing's worse than that.
One shot with Scott.
Okay, Gabe, you got any questions for one of the other guys? Who wants to talk to Gabe while I set up my shit?
Tom?
Tom wants to talk again? All right, come on, Tom. Yeah, you can put both of them in your ear holes.
Ooh. Is that DP? Both what? Ear holes?
Yeah.
Hi, Gabe.
DP. Hi,
hey, Tom.
I think that's what they call it in the trade.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, I'm going to ask you, we'll ask you the question, because I don't know, do you listen to the podcast? Have you ever listened before?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, I mean, so we're going to ask you the question. Yeah. We're not going to ask everybody the question. We'll ask you the question. If you had to choose between two bands, between The Replacements or Iron Maiden, who would you pick?
The Replacements.
Of course you would.
I quite like Iron Maiden, but The Replacements are very formative for me.
Formative. More than the Beatles?
Probably not more than the Beatles.
I'm bringing the Beatles up because they stole the title and tried to make it their own, Let It Be. What do you think about that?
I think it's very ironic of them.
Ironic? It's asinine.
Well, it's funny because as an asinine person when I was younger, thinking about what it would be cool to call an album, a friend of mine and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if you had an album and called it Beatles for Sale? And actually spelled it B-E-A-T-L-E-S. I guess that's because we were writing songs that were kind of derivative of the Beatles. See what I mean, though? It's funny. Is it, though? I was supplying what Scott would say. Is it, though?
But Gabe, do you know what it is about that album, Let It Be, that inspired The Replacements to call it Let It Be?
I can't get past the fact that they did it, so I don't. Are you going to tell us?
I have a theory.
Go for it.
It's probably similar to why they called the Beatles record Let It Be, which was like, oh, this thing isn't working. Just let it be.
Well, I don't think that's it. But, I mean, that's good. But I think it's because they had this great picture of themselves sitting on a roof, which is the album cover for The Replacements' Let It Be. But do you know why that's a reference to Let It Be?
The Beatles album.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Because at the end of Let It Be, the whole Let It Be movie is the Beatles preparing to do this rooftop concert, which they then do at the end of Let It Be. Ah. It's the whole rooftop thing that the Replacements are referencing. Gabe, it's not that they were trying to make it their own. They're making a clear reference. They're joking, and they're saying, here's a picture of us on a roof, so we're calling it Let It Be.
I like that. I like that. I actually, I would kind of love to form a Beatles cover band and call it The Rooftops and just do that stuff. I'd go see that. Would you?
I'd like you to. I would like you to form a band that's called the Let It Bees, and you only play songs from albums called Let It Be.
Yeah, and dress up in bee costumes. I love that. Yeah. Remember, like on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Tom in a Beatles cover band?
I have.
Actually,
well, I
you
was
have.
At the Halloween show that they were talking about earlier.
You were. Which band was that you were part of on that night?
I think I was part of Hush Drops that night.
Okay, I remember, because they used to do Help. I remember that back in the day. Or was it Hard Day's Night? I can't remember.
Probably both.
Either way.
They played a lot of songs.
If anybody in the band The Married Men were going to be in a Beatles cover band, I'd want to see you being John Lennon, because that's just it's a perfect fit as far as I'm concerned. I don't know why.
That's what I did.
Well, of course, yes. But yeah. I would have wanted to see you do that. That's a perfect, not just saying because of the glasses.
I think you're a good cross between John and Ringo, because you've got sort of a Ringo beard thing happening, maybe. There's something about both of them that I see in you. You're like every Beatle, really, Tom.
I'm every Beatle.
You got a little bit of the George Martin to you. You're a little Pete Best.
Yes. When I wear my white lab coat, that really comes out.
All right, thank you, Tom. Should we get somebody else at the mic and spread the love?
Who would you like to talk to?
Just pick any random sucker in that room.
I'll pick any random sucker. One moment, please.
Thank you.
We're not going to get any Maiden out of these guys. There's no chance.
How do you know?
I'll bet against it.
What about the drummer, Randy? I bet Randy Payne will go for Iron
Maiden. No, and there's not a person in this band that's going to say Maiden versus Replacements. Mm-hmm.
None of this is going to make it on anyway.
You didn't even do Desert Island.
I just talked to.
Oh, here we go.
I know. I went straight for the jugular.
Ben. All right, go for it again. Let's see. Your luck's got to change at some point. What happened, Randy? Yeah, put him in.
Nothing. How's it going?
DP, double penetration each year.
Randy will ask you the question as well.
Please.
Have you ever listened to the podcast?
I have.
So you might know the question that's coming your way.
Okay.
And I need someone to be on my side. I'm just going to say it.
He's begging you.
I'm begging for support here. You're my only hope. You're a Clive Burr fan,
Obi-Wan,
aren't you?
You're my only hope.
Yes.
Okay. You know, Nickel McBrain is the reason why Maiden kept going. Because, you know, without him, you know, he's the backbone besides Steve Harris. But anyway, if you could choose between two bands.
You're on a desert island.
You're on a desert island.
You can only listen to one or the other.
Between Iron Maiden or The Replacements.
I would probably have to say Maiden.
Really? You're not just humoring
no,
me here.
No, because when I was, that was really important for me when I was growing up, I guess. I mean, one of the first songs I learned was Run to the Hills.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I didn't get into The Replacements until much later. But yeah, Maiden was early on for me.
All right, you got.
And
you
I still, occasionally, when Scott wants to play the Trooper, I love when we do that, which doesn't happen very often with the Married Men, but you know, it happens occasionally, and that's always fun. And Where Eagles Dare is that's the name of the song, right?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
There's a reason why that album starts out like that,
right,
because Nickel McBrain was like, "I'm here, motherfucker."
And yeah, and I spent an entire summer trying to figure out how to play that song, so and never quite mastered it. But Scream for Me, Long Beach. I mean that Live After Death record. Come on!
I found out that I know a guy that was actually at the Long Beach show that was recorded, and I said,
"Really?
That was you who was screaming when he said Scream for Me, Long Beach?"
Scream for Me, Long Beach. Yeah. But I do love The Replacements. They're great as well. But I think if I had to choose between the two, Maiden.
Have you seen each of those bands? Have you seen either of them or both of them live?
I have not. And I think Local H is playing some shows with Maiden this summer, right?
There's a show
Scream
in California.
Come Long Beach.
I'd like to know for sure if you're the cure, just the cause, because I'd like to know. I'd like to know which way from you have come, because then maybe I'd know where to go. I'd like to look and see from you to me that suddenly we're meant to be.
The Iron Maiden burger at Kuma's is pretty great. Mm-hmm. Have you had that?
I haven't.
And, Gabe's and a vegetarian, by the way. So
they can probably make it with a Beyond Burger or something. Impossible.
I'm sure they could. Have you always been a vegetarian? Or is that
34 years. I'm trying to keep track. Yes.
So I am a carnivorous meat eater, but Scott challenged me years ago to go an entire month without eating meat.
How'd that go? While you were on the road?
No, we weren't even on the road. We were just home. And he's like, you got to go the entire month without eating meat. And so I was like, all right, but you got to go an entire month without going to a movie theater.
Oh.
Which was harder for him than I thought it would be.
Ouch, that's rough.
And you both did it for a month?
Yeah. Well,
because clearly the movie theater was giving me cancer.
I mean, he took something I love away. No burgers. So I had to take something away he loves. But, yeah. I had plenty of filet of fish that month.
Not many people might know this, Randy, but you are also, your day job is a graphic designer. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
You've got some credits along the way with most of the Merriman stuff and some local aid stuff. Why don't you tell me about
that? Yes, I... have done a lot of, if not all of the graphic design work for Married Men stuff since the beginning. And I did the art direction for Hallelujah, I'm a Bum.
Oh, nice.
And Live in Europe. Although Scott was pretty much the creative director for that. He gave me all the pieces that he wanted in there. And the photo book. I organized and laid out the photo book. With all those fantastic photos that our friend up north took.
Wow, you got a better memory than me. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Talk about the process of creating all the Hallelujah, I'm a Bum album artwork and stuff. Was that also, did you and Scott have a conversation, or did he give you the album and say, do what you want?
No, I mean, he had a pretty good idea what he wanted. And the whole idea of doing the blue side and the red side, the blue album and the red album. Reflecting the political landscape.
So here's a great question for you, Randy. Have you ever had a triple fillet of fish?
I have not. Sounds pretty good.
Here's what I hear. You got to get a double fillet of fish and then get a single.
Okay.
And you smoosh it all together.
Do they make a double fillet of fish?
Oh, yeah.
To get the double, you have to buy two singles.
Is it one of those you buy one, get one free? Is this like a loophole thing that if you buy the double, you get the single?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, but
the triple,
what about...
You buy a double and then you get a single.
Listen.
Yes.
Down here, they got a double Big Mac, okay? You guys have it up there?
Oh, my God.
A double Big Mac, it's already double.
I know. Does that mean you get, four, you get four patties on the Big Mac?
So is that... So a double Big
easy,
Mac, was
easy.
That four?
Randy, you just drooled on my foot.
Is that four patties and two... buns in the middle?
I don't know if they're going double patty bread, or is it single patty bread four times? I don't know.
Okay, all right. Let's really break this down.
This is riveting.
Double Big Mac. You got a bun on the bottom. And then you got little in the middle, but you got much back. Anyway, you got a bun on the bottom, and then you've got a patty. Yo, two patties?
It's
two
four patties. All beef patties, special sauce, lettuce,
yes,
cheese,
okay,
pickles, onions on a
so
sesame
you got a
seed bun.
Bun on the bottom, then you get two patties, and you got the bun in the middle.
Right, right. And then another
a little
patties.
In the middle. And then you get two more
well, you know, because they
patties,
have...
and then you got the top bun.
So
you're not saying a bun and then a patty and then a
well,
bun
that's what I'm wondering. So, little known fact, I created the first double quarter pounder with cheese.
Wait, what?
It's true. I was working at the Wilmington, Illinois McDonald's location, store 421. Mm-hmm. And the manager and myself, one night we were closing up, and he's like, you know what we should do? We should make a double quarter.
You know what we should
pounder.
Do? We should take a couple of days off our life.
So that's what we did. We made the first double quarter pounder with cheese. It was delicious.
Were you guys high on the pot?
No. It was before I smoked pot.
I don't even know who you are without that.
That was years before. But
are you glad they legalized it? Man, have you seen?
Man, I can't. I
have
really
you seen the Bob Marley movie?
No, I have not.
Okay,
as far as legalizing it, sure. But I can't smoke the stuff that I get dispensaries anymore. I've had to switch over to
too strong.
Yeah, it's too strong.
You got to go back to the stems.
I have to go back to the
back
streets.
From your older brother.
I have to go back to the streets. I have to start calling our friend.
The streets.
And do shady alley hookups.
I like that.
Something to be said about it, yeah.
There's a lot to be said for
yeah.
it.
It's something reminiscent. And it's so I see it on in my neighborhood. And, you know, and I live in a nice, fancy neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, but
nice,
you see the people who are on the stems. Oh, like, they're outside. They're like, oh.
Well, they're at the park, right? Okay. And there's a car that sits out there, and then another car pulls up behind them and then leaves 2 minutes later.
So none of y'all, like, go to the dispensary?
No, there? No, yeah. I mean, these are, like, teenagers I'm talking about that do this.
Oh, yeah.
This is what the kids still have to do, because if you're not 18 or 21 or whatever it
I'm
is.
Glad.
Yeah, they get the experience, right? It's that they still
have
to go.
Are they still smoking them out of, like, Diet Coke cans?
I hope so. Probably.
Gabe, what did you smoke them out of?
The toilet paper roll things. Remember those?
Mm-hmm. You and toilet paper. It's unbelievable.
That was an early device.
Only once.
Gabe, what's your favorite toilet paper?
Mine?
That's right.
This is where we're going? This is what we come down to after 3 years of podcasts? You want to ask me what kind of shit paper I use?
I think Gabe likes the one with the bear.
Yeah, that's my favorite, too. Like, yeah, the Charmin. Yeah. That's the one that don't squeeze. This is the Charmin. That's the used
the
to
bear
be the guy.
Charmin?
Yeah, it used to be the guy who would say, don't squeeze the Charmin.
Honk, honk, yeah, all right.
Remember?
Cool.
Mr. Whipple.
Yeah,
Mr.
thank
Whipple.
You.
Gabe, you got to love Mr. Whipple.
Wow, you bring me back.
Did you hear the question he asked me about Iron Maiden?
I think
Maiden?
It's time for a Gabe's TV corner.
Oh, I like that.
Back in Gabe Rodriguez days, TV was a hit parade. Everybody had it made. Those were the Gabes.
Gabe Rodriguez's TV corner.
All right. Gabe, so Mr. Whipple or Mr. Redenbacher?
Colonel Sanders.
Wow. You like that old racist more than Orville Redenbacher?
Listen, I like my lemonade not too tart, not too sweet.
Oh, just like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
Isn't that... Who is that guy?
It's Country Time.
Was there a guy?
Who made Country Time?
Not too tart, not too sweet.
Now, what was the guy...
Was there a guy?
Who was the Aunt Jemima of Country Time?
I don't remember that character. I just remember the jingle. Country Time, Country Time.
Tastes like that old-fashioned lemonade.
Okay, but I'd like to throw another...
John Denver wrote that?
I don't know. It sounds like
yeah.
him, though.
Yeah. Sure does. Ben, you were saying?
Oh, it's trying to throw some another commercial character out there. What about Madge and her Palmolive that she would
put? Oh, Madge and Palmolive. She was the best.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, no. Don't squeeze the bounty.
Rosie
was the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
The quicker
picker-upper.
You can squeeze it all you want.
Because the Charmin was the don't squeeze the Charmin. Right. The bounty was the quicker picker-upper.
Oh, right. Yeah. Don't squeeze the bounty wasn't a thing.
No, it was not.
Mutiny on the bounty was
yes.
a thing. Yes.
A movie, I think. In a book?
It was a book, yes. Gabe's looking at something. What do you got, Gabe?
I was looking that up. Anyway, I was bringing up Randy's graphic design prowess because... I'm going to be asking him if he has time to help us revamp the localates.com
so is
website.
Gabe's TV corner over?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Because we need to get some red and black theme stuff for the PJ Souls record that's going to be coming your way later on this year.
Okay, so should I just go then?
I like that.
Back in Gabe Rodriguez days, TV was a hit parade. Everybody had it made. Those were the Gabes.
Gabe Rodriguez's TV corner.
Do you have a set list in mind for your St. Patrick's Day show that you're going to start rehearsing? Or you're just going to see what works tonight?
Well, yeah, we have a few things in mind. Last year, we threw in a Local H song, which nobody thought would work as a married man. But I think it did. It's a song I always thought had an Irish feel. The song was freshly fucked, and it worked. We started off with it, and I think it was a hit. Should we do it again, Randy?
Freshly fucked.
Yeah,
we could.
Randy's already stoned.
Heavy on
the way down. Sure, we can do that. So yeah, we might try a different one.
It's
since it's PJ Souls here.
Am I live?
Hey, look, it's Jason Batchko. Listen, wow. We've been trying to get this guy on the show for quite a while,
And he deserves his own day.
He's been ducking us. Why? Here you go.
He still can't see me.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
Late again. Why have you been ducking us?
What do you mean ducking?
Ducking.
Who turducking?
So, Jason, you're one of the bigger, I would say, lifers that I know.
Am I?
I mean, you play every night. You play a Latin gig every night.
I do have a Latin gig every night.
Yeah.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, Jason. Is he a professional?
Ben. Hi,
he's
Ben.
He's a professional.
Hi, Jason. Nice to meet you.
I'm a real live professional.
Right. So we've been trying to get you on the show, and you haven't been wanting to do it. Can you explain why?
I've heard things about your show.
It's a den of vipers.
Did you...
with bad syntax?
Wait, why did you think I didn't want to do it?
Because every time that? I ask you, you say, I don't know.
I didn't say it with that inflection.
You say everything with that inflection.
That's why I don't want to be on your show.
Pretty much. Okay.
Can I go now?
Hang on one more second. You're on a desert island. You can only listen to The Replacements or Iron Maiden. What's your choice?
What was the last?
The Replacements or Iron Maiden.
Come on. Why are you even pretending?
I like the hesitation.
Shouldn't I hesitate?
No. It's
what do you think I'd pick?
You're a Replacements guy. Absolutely.
Yeah. I appreciate Iron Maiden. I would ask them to fly me to the island.
Can I just, Scott, can I say that everyone does this is another version of the thing you were complaining about, guys who say they don't like Barbie but they're Greta Gerwig fans. Everyone who says The Replacements say, I appreciate Iron Maiden.
That's true. The Replacements. They don't really like Iron Maiden.
I do like Iron Maiden. I just, you know, admittedly, I don't know a lot of their music.
Yeah, really? Me either.
Yeah. But of the ones that you have heard, what is your favorite?
Lost Sally.
The Island Jason, of Lost listen, Sallys.
Hold on. We got a former member or a member of a band called Horse, two of them, sitting right next to me here.
Yes.
Tell me a story. Oh, yeah. Tell me
I'm
a
still
story
convinced
about the
Tom
formation.
Sat in once.
Tom did not sit in once, but he did play bass on a version of Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
Once that is coming up in a new DVD, maybe.
There is.
Mm.
Gabe, can you?
He played bass on that.
All right, now I'll be on your show.
Did you watch it? I'm watching a lot of footage.
All I've been doing is watching. You haven't watched shit.
I haven't.
So what do you want to ask Jason?
I want to hear a memorable story about playing with Scott in the early days, like maybe a band called Horse. Like the formation of some of these early tracks.
Well, our original lineup. It was our original lineup was a trio. It was you, me, and Polanski.
That's right.
Right?
Polanski?
Yeah, then it was Greg.
And then Greg joined.
Horned in.
He did.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is
I wonder
it horned
why he
in?
Left.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Can't figure it out. Did he get a better gig or something?
Maybe. So, Gabe, what are you asking?
Okay, maybe even some of your better memories of a live show with the Married Men. How about that? Give me a memory of a tour.
We had a great show. While it was still a trio, it was great when Greg was in it, too. I just remember, though.
So this is back to Band Called Horse.
Is that what you're asking about?
Either one.
He keeps switching around, but here he goes. Band Called Horse, go.
We just had that great show at it was at the metal company. What were they, you know, over on Clybourne? What was the name of that place?
Which place?
You know, the steel company.
Finkelsteel.
Finkelman Steelworks.
Yeah, Finkelsteelworks.
Oh, right.
And it was a big block party.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of our first shows.
We played that.
Yeah. And I just remember it being real good. And there was no footage of it, but then many years later you said somebody had some, I think.
Somebody had footage of us opening up for Nickelback at
House of Blues.
I was going to bring
that up too.
Ladies and gentlemen, a band called Horse.
was a band called Horse that opened for Nickelback, not Married Men.
Right, right.
I forgot about
Married
that.
Men didn't exist yet.
Okay.
No. Only in my mind. Yeah. Well, this is officially bottomed out.
Yeah.
Jason, I thought you'd be a great guest. You are not a great guest.
We had a good thing going, and it ended.
What can you guys? I don't remember ever hearing about a band called Horse. When was this?
See?
What was it?
Podcast question. What can I say?
Well, you know, a man called Horse, right, Ben?
Yes. Yeah.
So this is a band called Horse. What more do you want to know? Oh, Jason's out of here. He's pissed.
Is that it?
No, it doesn't have to be.
Okay.
I just wanted to get ready.
Jason's going to get ready, and if you have anything you really want to talk to him about, you can do that.
All right.
The one time.
Okay. Oh, Jason's got a story. Come on, Jason.
I just remember that one time I play with Local H? I was the first time you had a sub, I think.
Right.
The first and only time until 20 years later?
Yeah, okay.
Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right.
That's all I got.
Where was that?
That was Peoria.
Sure, and Brian was getting married?
Getting married. So I sat in and played.
Do you remember what was on the set?
Well, I think we did Trucker Speed.
Oh, yeah, that would have been cool.
We did it, and All the Kids Are Right, I remember.
Yeah.
There's sure, video of that. I've seen video of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's one video, right, where I have my shirt on, and then it got hot, and then it came off.
Oh, yeah. I remember those drummers that likes to take their shirt off.
In that situation.
Yeah.
There's
when it's high-powered music.
Sure.
If you look real close, you look like the singer of Midnight Oil.
Do I
sing?
Right. What about you two?
Yeah.
Why, Gabe? Why do you always want to look
not
at somebody
crack
and go,
to
you know who you look
listen.
Like? You know, Peoria. You know the drummer Brad Elvis?
Yes.
From Peoria. We should talk to him again because he has a full on UFO story from Peoria. From the 70s.
Really? From the
70s? Not the band. A real UFO.
A real UFO.
Yeah. And I can't remember all the specifics, but it would be worth investigating.
Well, maybe
more.
You should come on the show for real, and you can tell Brad Elvis's stories. You come on
story.
As Brad Elvis.
UFO is one of those bands that I always saw their shirts and buttons in, like, the head shop, but I don't know that I actually know any UFO songs. What's a UFO song?
Lights out in London.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Gabe, you don't know shit about UFO either, do you?
Listen. Love You is one of my favorite songs of all time.
That's a UFO song?
Oh, yes.
Why didn't you speak up then?
Ben, you're
when
probably
our friend
not...
Ben was besmirching UFO.
I wasn't besmirching. I'm just admitting that I don't know. I don't think I know their songs, and if I do, I didn't realize it's UFO. I'm not saying anything good or bad about them.
It makes sense. It makes sense that you don't know UFO because you're not a big Maiden guy either. And they're kind of, influential.
Okay, wait. So there's I'm seeing videos for Dr. Doctor UFO. Is that the same Dr. Doctor as that Robert Palmer did?
No, it's not the same Dr. Doctor as Thompson Twins either.
March
16th. Jason's going to do a ventriloquism podcast. March 16th at the Metro.
You know what?
Scott, how would you describe
the
band?
Listen, it's an audio podcast, Jason. No one can see you with the doll. it's like Ed Bergen. Right.
Your voice is like the pirates. Murder on the high seas.
What are you putting him away for?
Two jokes.
You finally got interesting. Ben, what were you going to say?
I was going to try to get you to compare the different sort of cultures of your different bands. Like, what's it like hanging out with the Married Men versus when you're with Local H versus when you're with Prairie Cartel or whatever the fuck?
Well, there's a lot of us.
Totally different vibes?
There's a lot of us in the Married Men. And at this point,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we spend a lot of time together. like doing stuff that's not really band related, you know? Like, there's definitely a family thing. And, you know, Pat comes in, he's been friends with Randy Payne for years. He's playing acoustic guitar. That didn't happen because we decided we needed an acoustic guitar player. It happened because we needed a fiddle player, and that was Pat's daughter, Cece. And then he was bringing her because she's like, what, eight?
She's 20.
Oh, she's 20 now. So he would bring her to practice, and then he was like, oh, I can bring an acoustic guitar. I'm like, great, another person in the band. So it's just that kind of thing, like whoever can be in the band. You know, as long as we can go to Oscar parties and not kill each other. Ooh, you got a new keyboard. Where the hell did you get that from?
Phil Magnacci.
Oh, nice. Are you going to destroy his like you destroyed mine?
I wouldn't recommend that, Scott.
So yeah. It's about family, I guess, as stupid as that sounds.
I like it.
Who am I?
Blood half moon stuck in your hands, welling up from deep in your palm. Nobody moves if nobody stands. Curled up tight, cocooned on the ground. A whiskey trail you left in the sand. From your canteen you follow it out. Like blood has-